Now, you know, we've been talking about the trees of Scripture for these last couple of months. From the tree in the garden at the beginning of Genesis to the sycamore fig tree that Zacchaeus scrambled up last week to get a look at Jesus. Today, there is, of course, one very special tree that stands at the center of Scripture's story, and that is the cross. Five times in the New Testament, in the preaching and letters of both Peter and Paul, the cross is referred to not just as a cross, but as a tree. It's unusual language, and it stands out, even though it's ignored in most of our modern translations. That's why I had Jan read from the New King James Version this morning. But when it calls the cross a tree, it's not without significance. That Jesus died on a tree for us tells us something about the meaning of his death and the part that it would play in God's larger purposes. Paul says in Acts chapter 13 that Jesus died on the tree according to everything that was written about in the Scriptures. In other words, Jesus died on a tree because it was part of God's plan, part of God's larger purposes. And so we're going to give some thought to the tree on which Jesus died today. The tree of sacrifice. Now the Bible tells us that before Jesus began his public ministry, that he, like his father before him, was a carpenter or a builder. There's some uncertainty about what exactly that occupation entailed in the first century, but we can recall that Jesus spoke of logs and splinters, and building and tearing down barns when he was teaching. I think we can probably imagine a Jesus whose hands were rough and calloused from working wood, giving form and function to blocks and boards, having a familiarity with hammer and nails and other tools of the trade. I think it's interesting to remember that the cross on which Jesus died was also a work of carpentry. With beams hewn from a living tree, stripped of leaves and bark and branches, consisting of a horizontal crossbeam that the condemned would be forced to carry through the streets to the place of execution, where he'd be hoisted into place, and that beam would be fitted onto the vertical stanchion for public display. The Romans had many methods of execution, from beheading to boiling in oil to fighting with wild beasts. None of them sound very pleasing. But it's no accident that out of all these options that the Romans had, that Jesus the carpenter was condemned to die nailed to a wooden cross. A horrific mockery of a living tree fashioned by human hands into an instrument of death. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on a tree in order to bear the curse of sin. It seems that behind the New Testament writer's use of the word tree to describe the cross is a rather obscure verse from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, where it says, "Cursed is everyone who's hung on a tree." Paul writes about this verse in Galatians chapter 3, saying that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. The idea he's talking about is that by dying on the cross, Jesus died not just a humiliating death, not just an excruciating death, but a cursed death. The death of someone who'd been rejected by God. A curse that properly belongs to us. "Cursed is the ground because of you," said the Lord, "when our first ancestors ate from the tree and sinned. It will produce thorns and thistles for you," God had told Adam. Jesus would wear those thorns on his brow as he hung on his own tree, bearing that curse for us. Jesus was no sinner, but an innocent sufferer, who, in the words of Philippians chapter 2, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore, God also highly exalted him from this state of humiliation and pain, exalted to the right hand of God. The preaching in the book of Acts emphasizes this contrast between Jesus' cursed death on a tree and God's vindication by raising Jesus to life again. Peter says in Acts chapter 5 that the God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. It says later in Acts, they killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day. And Paul says, when they had carried out all that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. The shameful death turns to exaltation. The cursed death to triumph. Isaiah's song of the suffering servant, the one that Peter quotes in our scripture reading today, makes this same point, that the one who was despised and rejected, the one who was bruised and pierced, stricken and humiliated, whose death was a perversion of justice, has nevertheless been honored and exalted by God. According to Peter, as he quotes this passage from Isaiah, Jesus' death on a tree means life and healing and forgiveness. Us. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. The Isaiah passage continues, he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Jesus' suffering and death makes possible a life free from sin and its consequences. He took on our sin and the brokenness and curse that comes with it and left it all hanging on the tree. He nailed it to the cross, as it says in Colossians 2, so that we might share in the benefits of his resurrection. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. In a formula that goes back to the 2nd century church father Irenaeus, it says that he became like us, taking on everything that belongs to humanity, including its sin, in order that we might become like him. 2 Corinthians 5 says, he became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This great exchange all takes place at a tree, atop a hill called Mount Calvary. It's a tree that bridges the gap between the tree in the garden at which we first fell under the curse of sin and the tree of life around which we will worship God and enjoy him forever. The cross bridges that gap between two trees. The tree at which he has canceled the curse of sin and death by nailing it to the cross. A tree that, though fashioned into an instrument of death, has become for us a symbol of life, healing, and forgiveness. As we sing at Christmas time, he's come to make his blessing flow, far as the curse is found. He's taken that curse and left it hanging there on the cross. Amen.